Thanks for joining the Golf Underground. Now, the Golf Underground is made possible by Mariner Wealth, helping you navigate your financial future. Star Companies KC, experience a more energy efficient and comfortable home with Star's insulation services. Cowell Insurance, providing brokerage and risk management services for over 25 years. Sana Orthopedics, care plans backed by research and clinical results, tailored perfectly to individuals' needs. By The Flats KC, Kansas City's coolest apartment experience. Check them out at theflatskc.com.
Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia, where you'll score a double eagle on your next car or truck.
Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good. Lewisburg Ford, nobody sells more F-150s than Lewisburg Ford. And Celebrity Greens, put a custom PGA caliber putting green in your backyard for the ultimate golf experience. Now, on to the program.
Hey, welcome to Golf Underground ESPN Radio from the studios, which would be George's backyard, and we are honored.
I think it's 4 weeks in a row we've done shows at my house.
Well, and
this is the first live one, though, basically.
It is. And did you notice how Wardo said, George, we're only going to do it once. You know, can we just use your
base? Well, it depends. Let's just see how much fun we have in the backyard.
Yeah.
This could be great.
Oh, my God.
You know, when we had Harris on last week, I was thinking, all right, should we be doing this outside? And he's like, no, it's too humid. It's too this. It's like, you got really tough issues in your life. You know?
I do.
You had to bring the cushions in because we had a nice little light sprinkle out here in the backyard today.
Did you know I did that?
First world problems.
I took all the cushions off all the chairs right before the rainstorm today and put them in the garage.
Why didn't you have George Toma come over and put like a tarp over it? Or is it Joe?
I didn't know it was going to rain, to be honest with you.
Hey, is there any chance, because I look at your little garden here in the backyard, and for some reason I feel like a San Francisco homeless fella who can maybe prop a little tent right over there. And I know you're a pay it forward flaming liberal, and I think it's
Nate's out.
Sorry, guys, I'm going.
Amazing.
All right, listen, we've got a great guest today. We've got a lot coming here at George's backyard. We have Nathan Durr. He's a partner at the Hooray Grill Company. And George's backyard looks way better with a Hooray Grill in it. And the smell of the fantastic steaks and the burgers and the, what was the fancy wine, George, that you gave to our boy Mark McCollum?
Mark's having a Silver Oak right now because Parker didn't bring me any of his wine.
Oh,
come on, Parker, tighten it up.
How selfish.
All right,
could have put it on your bird. Huh? You flew in today. You could have put it on your plane, your private plane, and dropped it off here.
All right. So all seriousness, I want to hear the story. Obviously, Hooray's a great brand. We've clearly seen a lot of it. I have a lot of friends that have the grills, et cetera. But talk us through how Hooray got started in the grill. And obviously, we're getting some amazing steaks going right now. But kind of the brand and why you guys do what you do.
Yeah, so Hooray is really, it's an entertainment vessel that was born out of necessity. It's made for a background or an outdoor setting just like what we're at tonight, for guys or family that wants to get together and be outside, enjoy the outdoors, and create a meal, create something special themselves. And it's not only just, a set it and forget it grill, or a gas grill that sits over in the corner and the guy's over there stuck by himself cooking dinner. It's really something that pulls people together. And, well, hell, we put tables around it because everybody stands around the grill and we needed a place to put their cocktails. So it's just a different type of barbecue grill that people like to congregate around.
It's an open door hasty bake is what it is, and I love exactly. I love the fact
what are you,
that
90?
The great uppers and lowers. You could lower your grill all the way down to the flame, or you could take it 5 inches up.
Yeah.
And that intrigues me. You know, I used to have a green egg. The green egg is leaving. Ugly. It's gone. We're having a send-off party for the green egg tonight. That green egg will never be seen in my backyard. Now, I still have a Traeger, and I still have the Alfresco, but you know what? I got a feeling I'm going to be using this one a lot more than I use anything else.
I love to hear it. And you know what? There's a place and a setting for everything. And when you fire up the Hooray Grill, it's really about trying to create an event or an atmosphere that when you have your buddies around or even just your family and you're out and you want to say, honey, come out and you have this glass of wine. I'm going to grill some chicken and some asparagus. You know, you sit there and have a glass of wine while I do this.
Well, you had yams out there or sweet potatoes out there. Yep. You had little baby potatoes.
Yep.
You had mushrooms on it all. And then we had some jalapeno poppers, I think, on the grill. And you've never had to put any more charcoal on it or underneath it, right? How long will it last? Because you can always just lower it if you need it hotter, correct?
Jesus, like having freaking Emeryl Lagasse.
No, but you know what? I'm a barbecue nut. I love the barbecue in the backyard.
I love it. George knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Look at his tomato plant right over there. Look at
I got peppers too.
He does have peppers there. So, but you're exactly right. I'll cook, you know, an entire meal on a half a bag of lump charcoal. And that's I'm going to feed 18 people here tonight.
Well, I don't know. We got a bunch of steak.
Yeah.
I know that.
My God. Well, I saw those steaks.
Yeah.
Those
they're
look
unbelievable.
Amazing. But I'm going to have to add some charcoal for those.
Right. But it's easy to do.
Yeah. It's easy.
All you do is bring up the grate. Throw some charcoal in and lower it.
All right, yep. But listen, I'm curious, though.
Wardo, you could even
to come
do
up
this.
With a grill company.
I don't know. I'm pretty stupid.
What made you want to come up with a grill company? I mean, who doesn't like a I like a backyard. I like to cook a burger, but I don't put my life savings into it, for Christ's sakes.
Right. So the birth of Hooray Grill came from Hooray Ranch, which is it's a hunting lodge northwest of Wichita, Kansas. And we had a Santa Maria-style barbecue grill there. And it was a pain in the rear to clean. It was just large and cumbersome. And we thought, you know what, we can make something better. So my brother and I built three models, three different sizes, and showed them to Eric Dunn, who owns Hooray Ranch. And it was a hit right out of the gate.
Nice.
People started seeing them. People started asking if they could buy them. Next thing we know, 18 months later, we've got a website. And a retail or a direct-to-consumer business model. Zach Peterson helped us set that up and just helped us launch. It was not something we set out to do.
Yep.
It was organic, and it was awesome.
That's awesome. So give me some examples of your coolest events, because I've been to two of them. You're at Arrowhead Stadium a lot. I've eaten more free shit off of those Hooray grills than you can imagine.
So right? You and George now get free shit. I thought George is used to free shit.
Listen,
now you are?
I get a meat sandwich. He gets the grill. Hey, it's totally different.
Clearly this haircut was free because obviously you're wearing all of it.
Hey, this segment is brought to you by sportsclip.com.
So
no, give me some of the cool spots you've been to because people want it there.
Yeah, we've done everything from weddings to tailgates at Arrowhead, golf courses. We set up one of our. We love to set up, you know, at a golf tournament and be like on one of the holes, and this everybody come by, have a cocktail with us, and eat a quick appetizer as they roll on to the next hole. It's mobile, it's fun, and it's an entertainment vessel.
It's on wheels. Look at it. It's on wheels. You can move it anywhere in your backyard you want.
Gosh, it's unbelievable. That's so good. All right, so what's the plan for the Hooray Grill Company? I mean, you want to keep this thing small and intimate, or you hope this shit is all over Walmart?
I hope it blows up, and it will probably. It will never be in Walmart. It will never be in Walmart.
No.
It's not a throwaway item. When we built this, we said, every swinging dick out there throws together a shitty grill.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? We're going to make something different. We're going to make it that it's something you aspire to have, and it's something that you better like it because you're going to have it a long time.
So we're thinking Cabela. You're at Cabela. You're going to be at Cabela.
We're not at Cabela's.
You're going to be. Oh, you will be.
Yeah, we might be.
And then never mind Johnny Morris. He's going to be scooping him up at the Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah, yep. He's going to be scooping him.
Right, while you're picking up your Zebco fishing rod, you buy a goddamn Hooray Grill.
Hooray Grill.
So when you go to Arrowhead for a Chiefs game, and you're out there grilling before the game, obviously, because no one grills after the game. I mean, do people walk by and they just go, what the hell is that?
Okay, so a little backstory is Eric Dunn, who owns Hooray Ranch, is an entertainment master. And we learned quickly that, you know, we're tying in with the Hooray Ranch brand. The Hooray Grill's got to be, you know, a king of entertainment. So we turn nobody away. If we're out there cooking, we're cooking for 500 people.
Wow.
And nice. One time we did tacos one day, and it was literally over 400 tacos we handed out.
Ooh.
And, yeah, it's so if you see the giant Hooray flag waving in Arrowhead parking lot.
And the smoke coming up.
And the smoke coming up. Yeah. Come by and get.
You don't even go to the game, probably. You sit out there and grill the whole time.
Hell yes, we go to the game.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, okay. We leave that shit out there to cool off, and we come back later. And
how do you pack that in the Ford Escape?
It's not going to fit in your Ford Escape. Damn it. We roll in with an enclosed trailer.
Did you not see that trailer that he rolled in with?
I did.
Impressive.
I thought that was Parker's bus. That was our last interview. Yeah. That was your bus, right?
Well,
listen, it's great. It's of course we love to see Kansas City brands. I like two things in
Kansas brands.
Kansas brands. Really?
No problem. Being tied to
Kansas. No, or Missouri. That's or right. Missouri.
Yeah, hell no. You're wearing a Show Me Beef hat, which we're gonna get into.
The Mason Dixon line, right?
Well,
here?
We live in an area. You promote the whole area.
That's what I'm saying, George.
You've never sold a Hooray in Missouri?
I love delivered Missouri.
We want to sell Hoorays in Missouri too, not just Kansas.
Right. By the way, how did the Kansas Royals do in 1985?
We beat the Cardinals.
No, it was Kansas City. That's the difference, George.
Oh, okay. Well, it wasn't the Missouri Cardinals. It was St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
Okay.
Right, for Christ's sake. Well, listen, hey, great. It's a great story. We love entrepreneurial moments where guys take risks and say, you know what, we have no clue what's going to happen in our life. We're going to roll this dice. And you're in a business that is surrounded by a bunch of fun stuff. And so you're a lucky man, my friend.
Well, thank you very much.
Fun stuff. I like that.
All right. So, hey, where can people learn more about the Hooray Grill? They're all in. They're learning all about George's steaks, and they're feeling it. Where can they get more info?
So HoorayGrillCo.com on the website, and we're on social media, too. So Facebook and Instagram, check us out.
Your social media better be great with Zach running it over there.
Oh, he's the best. He's
Zach has no idea. He has no idea what he's doing.
All right, baby.
He is on
Come on, Zach.
All right, hey, listen.
I see a lot of fake.
Get your Hooray Grill. My man, Nathan Durr. He's the man from Hooray Grill Company, HoorayGrill.com. See you there. We'll be right back. After a short commercial break, Golf Underground, ESPN Radio.
Looking for Casey's best and coolest apartment experience? We have it, and it's called The Flats KC. The Flats KC is committed to providing an exemplary living experience by offering the best in-class residential communities in the most sought-after neighborhoods in Kansas City. With a focus on meticulous restoration and renovations of vintage properties, we aim to take the beauty of vintage and seamlessly unite it with modern touches. If you love urban living and are in the market for a freshly renovated apartment, The Flats Kansas City has options to fit every price range. Check us out at theflatskc.com or give us a call today at 816-454-3118.
Hey, Brian Sullivan of Golf Underground with my favorite orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Kevin Witte from Sano Orthopedics. Hey, Doc, golf season's over. My back is killing me. I know it's football season, so you got a lot of kids coming in, blown ACLs, all sorts of body parts with problems. And then, of course, those baseball players. I know you fix a lot of elbows. Why is Sano Orthopedics the absolute best sports medicine orthopedic group in Kansas City?
Well, if you want to see the guys in town, I've had the best orthopedic fellowship training in sports medicine, including training with Dr. James Anders and Dr. Larry Limack. Come see us. We individualize patients' plans to get them back to that activity and that sport that they love. And we actually care and listen to our patients and follow up with them, make sure that they're getting the results they need.
Okay. And so the three things that separate you, number one, best training. Number two, you specialize in getting people on that field. Number three, you're actually listen. Where can I learn more? Because you got me all in. And I don't really want to get fixed, but it's time.
At SanoOrthopedics.com, 816-525-2840.
Hi, this is George Brett, Hall of Fame baseball player, and I've been playing golf for over 35 years. Hitting the ball far was never my problem, but the closer I got to the greens, that's when my problems began. When I wanted a golf practice area in my backyard, I called Celebrity Greens. They are the industry leader in custom-built synthetic golf greens. These championship caliber, low maintenance greens roll great, react like real bent grass, and hold chip shots that check and spin. I absolutely love mine, not only in Kansas City, but also in Arizona. Call the pros at Celebrity Greens at 1-888-507-7960 or visit them online at celebritygreens.com. Practice like the pros or people like me that want to be pros right in your own backyard.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Golf Underground ESPN Radio. Once again, another segment number two. Georgie in the backyard. It looks like a garden in Paris.
Beautiful night.
Right now.
It's a beautiful night.
You know, we've couple.
And it just got prettier. It
really Your did. Manscaping is amazing back here. I mean, you did all this manscaping, didn't you?
I did it.
Yeah. And you know what? I get excited when I see your Coors Light and it's got the blue mountains. It means it's a nice cold beer. By the way, this segment is not sponsored by Coors.com.
Yet.
So, Wardo, we've got a nice guest here who, by the way, is famous in his own right around town. As I mentioned the last time I saw this. Well, never. Actually, I think he, I walked past him. I was one of 250 fat guys on a bus at the American Royal. And it was called, hey, everyone has to go to this Meet Mitch. It's got the best barbecue. It got the best meat. And
nice.
And the best party.
I like this build up.
So I snuck in, by the way. So I hope it's okay. I didn't really have a ticket to get in. So
did you climb the wall? I think I saw you climb the fence. Out back.
No. Out climbed back. Over the what do they call those things? Those
the urinals?
Yeah. Not urinals, but what do they call those things? Porta potties.
Well, porta potties.
He climbed up a porta potty, fell in.
No, this is the truth. On the day I went, to meet Mitch, his bus. That night, it was a long walk to get to where they took the tickets. I said, screw this. I jumped on the back of a flatbed truck, started climbing the fence, got one leg over, fell off. The ribs hit the back of the thing. One shoe went over the other side. The other and my buddy stood over me. But you know what? You saved me with meat.
Amazing.
I love that.
See, those are the type of stories. I mean, there's thousands of them, but this is why, this is effectively why you're on the show. But backing up a little bit, obviously you're an avid golfer and we're in the golf industry. Talk us through, you worked for TaylorMade and then you made the jump to barbecue.
I did.
Why?
Well, I started TaylorMade Golf in 1996, so I moved from Pennsylvania, I went to Penn State, and shortly after I moved out here to go to work for TaylorMade. I met you probably 6-7 weeks after.
Who's
I
you?
Moved. George.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
For the listening audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
I met him when he was a newbie in town.
Yeah.
When he was a newbie in town.
He's all in tune now.
He's so good.
I keep thinking we're on TV here.
So. We are.
So I'm not sure what's going on. But no, I that was always my dream job, was to work for TaylorMade Golf. I worked for the Futures Tour during college, during the summers, which is the girls' equivalent of the minor leagues. You know what I'm saying? What do they call it now? The Ho Chi Minh Trail Tour or what is it? I'm not sure.
It's not the Corn Ferry.
Oh, that's what it is. Something close. So I got my job and I moved out, and that was my passion forever, and had just a tremendous run. And in 2000, Adidas bought us and really brought us to the forefront. And I think that we just had a nice 15, 16-year run, especially when we painted the drivers white. I mean, everything went crazy. It was like free money. We were just writing our own plastic checks. It was fantastic. So, and then, you know, about 5 years ago, Adidas decided to sell to a private equity group out of New York, kind of changed the whole game, and really it was a time where all of us kind of left, unfortunately.
Just the golf side of the business?
The golf
obviously.
Side. Well, they separated from TaylorMade. So they sold TaylorMade off. So everybody used to be, when it was Sergio, Dustin Johnson. Yeah.
Jason Day. I remember when Jason Day won
Justin
some
Rose.
Tournament. Well, he won a tournament, and you were all excited because a TaylorMade guy won a major.
Well, it was big.
Yeah, it was huge.
I was selling shit on Monday. That's the way.
No, you were selling shit when he holed out the last putt.
That's the way that stuff works. So, So it was a big move. I had kind of fallen in love with barbecue. I mean, I attended the American Royal Barbecue, which is the world's largest barbecue, 605 teams at times in 1999. That was my first experience. And it wasn't just the largest barbecue competition. It was the biggest fucking party I'd ever been to in my life. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. I mean, hay bales, Daisy Duke shorts, the halter tops. I mean, I was in. So I signed up the next year. I didn't even know what the hell I was doing, but I signed up because I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to have the biggest party down there. I could care less about meat except that it had jean shorts around it. That's what I really, really enjoyed.
And you never did win. You've got some notoriety there, but you know what? You did have the best party in the history of the American Royal.
20 years in a row, roaring through it like Sherman through Georgia. Amazing. Just balls to the wall. Absolutely a great time. We had some success. Through that longevity, we came up with sauces and rubs and started to kind of get into it. I mean, any excuse to leave your wife for 3 days and just go anywhere in the country, I was looking on maps, finding barbecue competitions in Fargo, North Dakota. I don't care where it is. I'm kind of heading there. So just a really, really good time. And I was blessed, obviously, to be friends with George Brett here, who I think the first time, I'll tell you the story. The first time, we didn't have cell phones back then, but we did have caller ID. So I'm sitting in my office. I'm 24 years old. Caller ID says George Brett. I said, holy shit. And I knew through Sarah Allison, his nanny was working with my wife at the time, or fiance at the time. And I picked up the phone, and he says, Mitch? I'm like, yeah. He's like, George Brett, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, absolutely nothing. And I had like six sales calls all set up with neighboring country clubs. And he goes, you want to play Indian Hills Country Club with me? I said, you bet. He goes, all right, be there at 10 o'clock. I'm like, okay. True story.
Yeah.
Right? So I called each pro and I said, and I told him the truth because I was so excited. I didn't come up with I was sick or something. I said, hey, I'm sheeting your ass tomorrow to absolutely go play golf with George fucking Brett. So we went, and this is we walked. If you remember, we played 18 holes. I made my first par on 18.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And you said...
And you're a TaylorMade rep.
You said, you better pick it up if you're going to be a TaylorMade rep, because you kind of fucking suck.
And a friendship was born. You know, that's what it was.
But, George, you made two pars when you won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
I had one par the first day.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But it wasn't on the 18th hole.
Well,
it might have been
go.
Like the fourth or fifth. I made one. Big deal.
I mean, you're so judgy.
I didn't
judgy.
Wait till the 18th hole, and you don't think I was giving him any crap for that?
I mean, you're so judgy.
You're parless.
All right, so are you still doing the American Royal? Still putting those big-ass parties out with the bands and all that?
We've missed one in the last 20 years. This year, we're going to open up a brand-new restaurant under Meet Mitch Barbecue right about the exact same time, September 15th. Right when that thing is scheduled to launch. So going to skip it this year. So
where is it? Where is this restaurant?
It's 95th and Mission. It's in Leawood. It's the Ranch Mart
shopping center.
Nice.
I can walk
well,
there.
Well, he's got one. You know, Sully, he's got one in Westport called Char Bar.
Yeah?
He's a partial owner of that in Char Bar. He sells his rubs, the Meet Mitch brand rubs. I mean, not only all over Kansas City, but all over the country. And how many countries are you in now?
Oh. All of them.
How many countries are there? Mitch, how many countries are there? Should I have asked you that? Too many to count? Is it too many to count? No, Sully, here's a great story. Mitch, tell us a story about when you went and lived in Paris for 2 months to open a barbecue restaurant there.
I did.
Oh, yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
Well, this was 2019.
This is when Notre Dame burned down, right?
Well, that you're giving.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Where'd you find this guy?
Yeah, this guy's loose.
So yeah, it's in 2019, and someone at Char Bar actually comes up to me, or no, calls me and says, "Hey, Mitch, I need your help. I'm responding to a Craigslist ad that is this says ISO, which I found out is in search of." I had no idea. You know, if you're not looking for hookers, you're not looking for anything.
I thought it was like a Japanese soup or something.
Yeah, I had no idea.
An ISO.
ISO. What is that?
ISO.
Is that a triple Lindy?
Yeah. She won the U.S. Open
so
for
it,
the
it says,
Korea.
It says, hey, we're looking for an American pitmaster guy to come over here and teach us Parisians how to cook American barbecue. And so he submitted his application or resume, did something, and I got so excited about it. I'm like, I'm checking in with him. I'm like, hey, Potts, did they get back to you? And he's like, week one, no. Week two, no. Week three, I'm like, hey, can I try to do this thing? He's like, yeah, I can't do it anyway. I can't go to Paris or anything. I'm like, all right. So I sent like a little stock video that I have. That is, you know, brand oriented, fun things that we've done, things that we have done together, and sent it to him and got a reply in like 5 minutes, right? That said, holy shit, you would really come over here? I'm like, done, Potts. Let's get this fuck game on. You know, I'm in. So we had to set up a Zoom call. The next day, I didn't know what Zoom was. I thought it was a pair of shoes my daughter bought that had wheels on. No idea. So I figure this out, download it. I'm talking to him. Honest to God, 8 days later, I'm living in Paris. That's true.
Yeah.
Jeez, that was cool. What so good.
For 2 months. 2019.
2 years ago.
For just, 2 months,
just,
right?
Just pre-pandemic.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You started the pandemic.
Probably some shit happened over there. We're not quite sure. But it. So I get over there, and it's. I get over there, I do March and April, right? And so it's probably the first week in April, and we're in Saint Michel, which is right on the Seine, right across from Notre Dame, right? I mean, the biggest landmark that there is in Paris. And, it's my day off because I scheduled those. I wanted to make sure I had days off
sure,
over
you
there.
Deserve
you know, I did. I
Podsy needs his yo time.
I needed to see right. some stuff. So my buddy texts me. He's like, dude, you got to get down here to the restaurant right now. He's like, this church is on fire. I'm like, what church? He's like, the big one. I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, I'm down, right? So I get down there, and it is the Notre Dame, and it is burning down.
Yep.
It burned for 17 hours,
yep.
Right? We had to close. We were literally across the street. If I walked out of the restaurant, I was totally covered in ash.
Wow.
It was an historical event. Really cool time to be there. My cell phone blew up. Everyone in town thought that I had something to do with burning that fucker down.
I sent you a text.
It's like, they wanted whole hog. I've never done whole hog. I don't know. It was a priest with a collar. I said yes, and I lit it on fire. So, but it was like I can remember, and I have video, which is really cool, of 2:30 in the morning being on the streets, elbow to elbow, packed, of everyone staring at this thing with the smoke billowing out. It was just, you know, from a perspective, it was crazy.
You were there
singing.
Just a couple weeks?
I was there 2 months.
Yeah.
I had my own flat. I was cool as shit. I felt like I had a car. I didn't have a car. I had to Uber everywhere or walk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, you know, to say you have a flat and you're living in Paris. Mm. But yeah, we had a restaurant there that was fantastic. So I was there for 2 months.
Yeah. And okay, one more story.
Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Sully's running the show.
ADD boy.
So the goal was to bring barbecue to France. Were you successful?
I thought it was extremely successful. One of the things, you know, there's a lot of expats there. A lot of people from the U.S. that are forced to live over there maybe against their own will.
Right.
And, you know, So there were several times where guys would come in, and we'd had Budweiser. We had a Chiefs helmet. We had a Royals helmet. We had burnt ends, and we had barbecue sauce, and guys would come up and just hug me and just say, thank you. He's like, I just had ribs, burnt ends, and a Budweiser in the middle of Paris. You are the greatest person I have ever met in my whole entire life. I mean, there was tons of that action.
How'd they find you?
I don't know. They just walk around, I guess. I don't know that there's not as big. We did social media and we did that thing. I don't, you know, from that perspective, we are in the busiest street in Saint Michel. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's just little shop after shop after bar after bar after bar. They're tchotchkes and bullshit, and they're selling crepes. I mean, you could take a crepe on every corner in that.
And the name of the bar was Rosie's.
Rosie's. Yeah, Rosie's, right. Which was the owner's daughter.
And then you come back, and then you go to Australia. I forget your chef's name, the guy that you taught to be the pit master in Paris. What was his name?
So his name was...
He's been over here a few times. I've met him numerous times.
His name is Paul Patterson. So visually, this guy, I get there the first day to work, and I fly over there. I don't know what I'm flying into. It's a black hole. Dude, like people are...
Had you been to Europe before?
Slightly. I mean, just a little bit. I had been through Paris once. That's the only place. I mean, I had been over to play golf in Ireland and shit like that. Right. But I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
And I didn't have a picture of the restaurant. I didn't have a picture of anything I was doing. And people are explaining to me how they harvest your liver and, your innards.
Sure.
Like, you're going to get over there, and they're going to kill you, and they're going to gut you and sell all
And judge you. More importantly, judge you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I figured the worst that would happen is I would fly right back. But I got over there. I walk in the first day. I get there about an hour early because I'm so scared. I live literally a mile, 1.7 miles from the restaurant. But everyone says, you just jump on this subway deal. I'm like, fuck that. I went down there. I turned around. I walked out just like my first test in college. I couldn't get out of that room fast enough. I looked at it. I knew nothing. I was gone. Uber. Done. This is what I know here, right? Well, an Uber, even to go 2 miles, takes you 45 minutes.
Yeah, you got
to
be in a bicycle.
Well, there's the hottest chicks you've ever seen that are
smoking
darts,
butts,
throwing them down, jumping on mopeds and just ripping out of there.
I'm like, they're beautiful.
I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, like Evel Knievel
dressed
with a wig.
The nines. It was fantastic. So I get down there, and I get there early, and this guy walks in. He's from New Zealand. He's Kiwi. He's got long, curly hair, this crazy hat that he's known for.
White you hear that, Hilliard? New white, Zealander.
White T-shirt, jeans, and I'm standing there, and he walks in. He goes, you Mike? I go, Mitch. He goes, close enough. Follow me. So I go back and to the kitchen with him, and the first day, I don't want to be a dick. Like, we're allowed to swear on this, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Fucking go.
So I'm like,
we would have shut it off 20 minutes ago.
I was going to say.
Mitch. You asked that question 16 minutes, 15 seconds.
That was seven fucks ago.
Yeah. So we go in, and first day ruled no dick. So I listen, and one of the rules was I had to work 8-hour days. That was part of my contract. So I'm like, fine. And then you don't have to be there till 11. So I work with him, I listen, I follow him around, and at 3 o'clock, he, like, takes his ponytail out, puts his leather jacket on, changes out his sneakers for his black leather boots, and I'm like, what's going on, Potts? He's like, it's 3 o'clock. I go, well, what does that mean? He goes, we're closed. We're going to walkabout. I'm like, all right, deal. He's like, grab your shit. I'm like, okay. So we literally walk out, take a left. There's a bar right next door. We walk in. Hey, this is my new friend Mitch. He's living here now from Kansas City. He's teaching me barbecue. He's going to be here for this, awesome. And everyone goes, bang, 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 shots, right? I'm like, winner. So bang.
Winners win.
So we hit shots. And then he's like, all right, let's go. And we hit about 8 of them in a row. And it was the same story until 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, he's like, got to go back, mate. Got to open back up. So then you work from 6 to 10. That's your next 4 hours, 11 to 3, 6 to 10. And I'm hammered. Hammered. I'm like, great. I'm better hammered. So we get there. We go till 10. We clean up till 11. And at 11 o'clock, we leave. He does the same deal, the Mr. Rogers deal, where he puts his black jacket on and everything, his hat and the whole deal. And we proceed to go out till about 4:30 in the morning. And about 3:30 in the morning, I'm hugging him. This is first day. I'm like, this is awesome. I go, how often do we get to do this? He goes, every day, mate. And we did for 2 months.
Thank God.
And then you went to Australia after. No, you went to New Zealand to do barbecue in New Zealand for 3 weeks, right?
Wait, before COVID, you did that too?
So this was 2019.
By the way, this little itch that you had, to see Europe, could have been done in 4 weeks with a backpack when you were 21.
Well, I told you that I negotiated days off. So I had 3 days off a week every week. And I went to Spain, I went to Germany, I went to England, I traveled all around. I put that fucker on scholarship and took him with me because he was a hell of a lot of fun and he got a lot of chicks.
So. Absolutely. Amazing. Which, by the way, Australians are all over Europe backpacking. So I did the backpack thing right out of college for a month.
My brother Bobby did the same thing.
Every place he did the same thing. There's two funny ass Australians who are just buying cocktails, and then you'd show up in the next town, and sure enough, those same bastards would be there in the bar.
Yeah, greatest. Yeah, just the greatest. So he had never been to the United States, so I brought him home, right? He didn't know who George was or any of this kind of stuff. I'm kind of telling him that life's pretty good in Kansas City, and I take him home and I bring him over to your house. And then we took him out to a baseball game. You don't even know this story. And he sees, you know, the statue right? So he stands behind the statue holding your hips with his hat in the air like he's mounting you from the back. It is one of the funniest pictures. He made me promise never to show you, but I might have to show it to you tonight.
By the way, there's 1,000 just like it.
So
George, you've been mounted so much.
So he stayed with me and my family for a week, and then we went to Memphis to go compete in the Memphis and May World Championships, where we won two different things and got him up on stage twice. So it ended like a Disney movie. It was the coolest deal.
He must have had a freaking blast, just like you had a freaking blast.
So the new restaurant.
Memories, man. It's great memories.
So, Mitchie, the new restaurant's opening on or about what date?
I would say a safe date's probably October 1st.
October 1st, yeah. In Ranch Mart.
In Ranch Mart.
Meet Mitch.
Yeah.
Meet Mitch.
Are we going to do a little fun opening?
I think we should all go there and do a show there one day.
Golf Underground?
Do a show there one day.
Yeah,
for sure.
Mitch, I mean, tell you what, you should take my place. You're a lot funnier than I am.
He's pretty freaking good.
I mean, you are a natural. He's a natural.
He's like a skinny cracker white version of Andrew Dice Clay.
He's so talented, Pops.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this show has been long. I mean, I've been chasing this guy.
And by the way,
English.
Hey, I got one more thing to say before we say goodbye to Mitch. And if you're driving in your car in the morning and you want a good cup of coffee, hit a Dunkin' Donuts in town.
Oh, yeah.
Hit a Dunkin' Donuts.
You got Dunkin' Donuts. Too?
America runs on Dunkin'.
Exactly. Dunkin' Donuts.
He's like a
Dunkin' Donuts like and Warren barbecue. Buffett. I mean, that's the greatest combination of all time.
Right now.
Oh,
Dunkin' Donuts, in the Midwest, tailor-made feed golf the Midwest. Balls, tailor-made clubs, and Dunkin' Donuts. That's Mitch's life.
Well, and on the way home, you should pick your bride up a Little Flowers at the Little,
Little Flower Shop.
And a copy of my new book that we both signed.
That's right. He's got a book out. Let's talk about that.
We gotta talk about the book now. Hang on.
What the fuck, Sully?
Let me get a cocktail for Christ. This may be a while.
Come on. That's why I was here.
Tell us the book.
All right. Tell me about the book. You got a book about the journey?
We gotta promote that.
You got a book about the journey?
I got a book about the journey. It's a big recipe book. There's probably 80 recipes in there. George wrote the foreword to it. But tons of stories, everything from he and I going to see Barstool Sports in New York City and a couple days we spent with them.
And we did Fox and Friends in the morning. We fed them all.
Derek Jeter's retirement party where Michael Jordan was there and Reggie Jackson's got tongs putting ribs
on bones. How about when you would do it for the Yankees when the Yankees were playing in Kansas City?
Right.
And Reggie happened to be in town and he was in there the whole time eating ribs while you're cutting them.
Oh yeah.
And then we had one during the All-Star game. We served the All-Star game. Yeah. He was the czar of barbecue. I named him the czar of barbecue. I got in trouble for doing that. The Royals said you can't do that. And I said it's too late. I already did it.
Yeah, it's done. That thing was done.
He was cooking meals before and after every game for the Royals. The Home Run Derby. John Kruk on TV going crazy. YouTube it. If you think I'm lying to you, just pull up John Kruk Barbecue's All-Star Game.
I watched
it
live.
He's going crazy.
It was borders.
Nomar Garcia Para, Boomer.
Yeah.
All those guys.
Nomar. Yeah.
How many ribs did Boomer crush?
It was more Kruk. They did Chariots of Fire soundtrack to him eating that. Remember? He had sauce all over his face, all over.
He didn't even talk. He didn't even talk for about 10 minutes. He was just showering down on ribs.
He never even swallowed.
And Boomer's in the background going, back, 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 back. I thought he was talking about John Kruk eating ribs.
And Adam Jones, remember Adam Jones from the Orioles?
He came out. And he's going, these are the best ribs I've ever had.
Best ribs I've ever
had. Hey, is there any chance that maybe we go to a commercial break and you two just talk to each other for the next 2.5 hours?
No, we've done a lot of stuff together.
I mean, because this is starting to become like Gone with the Wind.
All right. Scarlett?
Hey, Mitch, by the way, great to meet you.
Great.
Nice to meet you.
Your neighbor's been talking about you forever. You know, I was on the bus, but, you know, we didn't become friends, but I think we're going to be friends now.
We're friends now.
And your stories are awesome, and I think there's a little lesson here. Get out of freaking Kansas City and go have fun. That's the lesson.
He's never leaving Kansas City. It's nice here.
No, he just means for junkets.
For junkets. All right, Mitch. All right, so listen, hey, where can people buy some of your shit?
Meetmitch.com, M-E-A-T, Mitch.com. I have everything. There's all the videos of George, like, doing funny things at Barstool. There's, you know, just all of our exploits, all of our different products that we have available.
You got Rushbow on there. Rushbow's on there. Nice Rush came to one of those competitions one time.
Yeah, we won the fucker. So Rush says, I got one of my teammates. You tell this story.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Okay, see, dummy. So I got one teammate that is... turns into a vegan, right? So Rush is all just beside himself and says to this guy...
Make sure for our liberal listeners, that would be Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh.
Turn the channel now.
Yeah, yeah, Rush Limbaugh. And he says, you're a vegan. He noticed him. Like Wardy would be sitting here and saying, hey, you're not trying any of this because we're all diving in. We're trying to pick the best ones. I mean, you're coming down, you're looking at the clock.
To send in there for competition. We got ribs we got to send in.
You know. We can't all hit curveballs. We got to turn in bones with meat on them. Damn, you know, right. We got to figure this shit out. And he's not trying any of them. And Rush says to him, what's the deal? He's like, oh, I don't touch meat. I'm a vegetarian or vegan. He goes, that is the ultimate source of hobby. I've never heard of anyone that stays out here for 3 days and doesn't sleep and doesn't eat one lick of the meat.
It's kind of feminine.
What, being a vegetarian?
Yeah, around a bunch of meat eaters.
Well, he's not on the team anymore. I think it's cheating.
Yeah, you had to give him a soft landing. Definitely.
But I think Rush had a ball.
He went back and talked about it. He was full of dinner that night. We had dinner that night. He couldn't even eat anything. He ate so many ribs and so much burnt ends.
He talked about it for like 45 minutes, the whole experience.
Hey, listen, this is where I cancel it because we do need a commercial break.
Okay.
George, Mitch.
And we got one more segment coming
up. Good.
We got one more segment.
We might have a couple more. We might have a couple more segments. We keep enjoying each segment, so why wouldn't we keep going? Let's do like 10 of them, George.
That's fine.
All right.
We got enough people.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a power segment brought to you by NextGen Cattle. They supplied our steaks tonight, and they are fantastic.
And we look forward to Meet Mitch being one of the proud sponsors of the Golf Underground. That's right. Now come on back and listen to ESPN Radio. Hey, Brian Sullivan, Golf Underground, with a little tip for you. If you're looking to buy a new Ford, you have to check out my buddy, Jason Gudenkauf at Lewisburg Ford. They've been saving Midwest Ford buyers thousands of bucks for over 40 years because they do business the right way. They sell everything, check this out, for $50 over invoice. That's simple and cheap. And they win a lot of awards. In fact, they won Ford's President's Award 17 times. That's the top Ford award. And they only give it to dealers with superior customer satisfaction in sales and service. So they know how to take care of customers better than anybody. Now, what these guys know how to do also, keep this in mind, sell trucks. Lewisburg Ford has sold more F-150s than any other Ford dealership in greater Kansas City. That's 2 years running. And last year, they were the number one F-150 sales leader in the entire state of Kansas. So, no hassle. $50 over invoice pricing, unparalleled customer satisfaction, and a huge selection. That's a perfect recipe for selling trucks. So, check out all their inventory and prices online at lewisburgford.com or give them a call at 816-444-2300.
New golf clubs, a big screen TV to watch the U.S. Open, or maybe even a new golf cart that I've got my eye on.
No matter how you choose to spend the savings, if you're looking to put a dent in your monthly heating and cooling bills, the answer may be right over your head. If your attic isn't insulated properly, you're missing out on a prime opportunity to cut costs. Call the certified energy experts at Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160, for a free estimate to learn how they can help you save money. 816-353-2160, or visit starcompanieskc.com.
Do you have retirement dreams about perfecting your swing and spending your time on the green? Or maybe you have a bucket list of golf courses you'd like to travel to. Whatever your financial goals are, Mariner Wealth Advisors is your advocate. We take the same care in understanding where you stand today as we do in understanding where you want to be in the future. Then, we help you set a personalized plan to help you achieve your long-term vision. Contact Mariner Wealth Advisors today to start your financial planning journey. Visit MarinerWealthAdvisors.com to find a location near you.
Mariner Wealth Advisors, otherwise known as MWA, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. For additional information about MWA, including fees and services, please contact MWA or refer to the disclosures on our website. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money. This advertisement should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities.
Hey, welcome to Golf Underground ESPN Radio here. We're having a great night. Of course, this is segment three here with George, Wardo, and Sully. And we have a very special guest. And you know what, George? When I think of summertime, you think of memories.
Backyard barbecues.
You think of backyard barbecues, being
with
friends.
Different kind of memory.
Family. I don't know. Well, I think it's a better kind of memory than me being on a Weber grill cooking charred burgers from Sam's.
He loves hockey pies.
Yeah. Now listen, we got to take you back because this is sort of a reunion tour because it was 2.5 years ago that we sat with our guest down in Austin, Texas, with our buddy Mark McCollum. Now I got to share the story. Me and Wardo are waiting for. We're trying to go to the Dell Match Play, and what happens is he says, "Can we wait for my son?" We said, I thought you were going to show up, Parker, and that you were going to be like 12 years old. We got to wait for my son to go to the Mel's Pack. I'm like, Jesus Christ, can we just move on? I look out. Here he comes out of a truck.
Talk about him.
He's got the flat bill, the Hollywood glasses. I thought Matthew McConaughey just showed up at Mark McCollum's house. And you walk up. I was
extremely.
You were starstruck.
Homosexual. I was blown away. Blown away.
Almost.
Now, but I didn't want to go overdo it. Right? So I eased in with some nice questions like, hey, you know, where you're from and stuff. And so we are lucky because tomorrow night at the Power and Light, he is about to have the biggest fan audience ever in the history of the Power and Light. We have the one and only who is killing it on tour and on radio and downloads. It's the one and only Parker McCollum. Parker, welcome back to the Underground after 2.5 years.
Oh, thanks so much, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah. So 2.5 years ago, we sat with you at the Dell Match Play. We had a couple beers, vodkas. A
couple would be generous.
Yeah. Maybe some other things. And we sat right there on the first tee box, and we put the little microphone there, and we just had a blast. And your journey, I won't say was just starting, because you started writing music at the age of 12.
Yeah.
But you had just come out with what I think is it's one of my all-time favorite records that included the hits that right now people who didn't know 3 years ago are playing on the radio. If you turn an XM radio highway, you hear Parker McCollum everywhere. How have you grown in 2 years since the last time we sat together at the Dell Match Play?
Oh, how have I grown in the last 2 years? I don't know. I mean, I think we were still in a van at that point. We may have been on a tour bus.
Had your boy. You had your driver.
Yeah. So we were on a bus then.
Yeah.
We got two buses now. I don't know, man. It's been crazy. We had right after that podcast, we had a really good year of touring. And then right after that year of touring, we had an entire year off during COVID, right as our first national single on country radio went to radio. So it's been crazy the last 2 years, but coming out of COVID, it's been absolutely insane. And you can kind of see the growth every night that we walk on stage, just thousands of people losing their minds. It's a great problem. I got my bass player here, Jason Newberry. Jason, say
hi. Jason, give a little.
I'm tickled to be here, folks.
Just tickled.
Tickled. Are you tickled with your Atlanta Braves hat on?
Is that your Kansas accent?
Did you lose a bet? You're wearing an Atlanta Braves hat.
I knew it might have been suicidal to wear this hat here, but I had to.
Hey, Jason, I just want to let you know one thing. When we want to dig deep on George, I'm so glad you wore that hat because he can't stand the three names of John Smoltz, Mark Glavin, And who was the knuckleballer?
Maddox was on that team.
No. What do you mean I can't stand him? I like him. We're all members of the same fraternity. You're making it sound like I hate Atlanta. Joe Simpson, I played with. You know Joe?
There he goes. Good recovery.
Joe is like one of my best friends today, one of my favorite teammates of all time.
Mark Glavin is just an absolute great athlete. He's my guy.
But he's your guy? He's a left-handed golfer. Would you rather have him or me on your team?
I'm going to take Mark.
Okay. Come on, Sully, we'll take him any day of the week.
Well, I will tell you, George, you're really competitive. When we said we're going to have Ozzie Smith on, I believe your words were, fuck that. Well, so I don't know if it's a fraternity or maybe Ozzie. You are particular like Ozzie, about who you like.
But I remember him doing a backflip before Game 3 of the World Series.
Yeah.
And he ran out, and everybody knew he was going to do a backflip. I mean, I could have done one, too, if I wanted to. Run out and do a, you know, a gymnastics backflip. But I've never done that. I'm there to play baseball, not do gymnastics. So I don't do it. That's the only reason I don't do backflips on the field. I don't even do them in the pool.
Have you ever done a backflip after a birdie or thought about doing one?
No.
Why not?
Because.
Hey, I don't mean to get in the way of you two, but
we have
two guests right now.
I know.
I'm trying to, you know, Barbara Walters, though.
And I love both of them.
Okay. Right.
You do a great Barbara Walters, by the way.
He is a fucking outstanding.
No, but I'm not lying. So Probably Wrong was a big one. So you start with Limestone Kid, and I went back and listened to the old interview, and you wrote your first song when you were 12. Oh. So this little journey, and I will tell you one thing that came out of that interview 2.5 years ago was, it still was fresh. You had just signed with Universal Records. You were still signing the deal at the time. What an amazing part of your life. And we sat together, all of us, saying, where do you think it's going to go from here? And here we are. And you're absolutely crushing it. You are the name. I mean, there's five bands or guys who are killing it. Like, are you still in this... wondering what the next stage is going to be, or you feel like you're proud of yourself right now?
I mean, I think we're proud, but I think we have so far to go. In my mind, like, the goal or the level that we're trying to get to still is so far away. We've been super lucky, super blessed to be as successful so quickly as we have been, and we're grateful for that, but it's not enough.
What's enough?
I don't know. I mean, I'm still flying commercial.
Southwest.
But you got Dan's helicopter.
Yeah, still flying commercial. So I'll get back to you on that one when we're no longer flying commercial.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, you've got a new, July 30th, you got a new...
Yeah, Gold Chain Cowboy, new album comes out.
Gold Chain Cowboy's coming out.
Yeah.
All right, tell us about that album and why should folks be downloading this thing?
I think it's a really good record. It's kind of I've been writing nonstop. Through COVID was really weird. We recorded this record all through COVID, all different studios, and super unconventional way. Never made a record like this. And we were kind of doing it just a super unconventional way with everything being shut down and still trying to finish the record. So when we came out of the world being shut down, we had a record to put out. It turned out to be Gold Chain Cowboy. So I literally just went into the vault a few months ago and picked out the 10 best songs I thought held the most weight, could stand on their own, and we cut them, and that's the record, and comes out on July 30th, and hopefully it does well.
So how does it compare to Probably Wrong, right? So what was cool about that album is you had to get really sort of deep into yourself in that, right? Yeah. I mean, if the songs in there were emotional, you'd recently broken up with a girl you were madly in love with, right? And it came through in these songs. And I think that's what appealed to people. It was like an authentic guy singing about shit that guys aren't supposed to feel, but they do.
Yeah.
Right? Is this...
That's pretty accurate.
Right? We try to be manly, but we're actually dying inside. How does this compare to that? I mean, same emotion?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's the same. I kind of took a couple... I was kind of getting bored, I think, with... the sad country song thing, which is really what I think I do best. And I was kind of getting bored with it. And especially being on stage, I was getting bored singing those songs. And so there's a little bit on this record that's pretty different than that. Or a couple songs I think I was just kind of reaching a little bit on and be interesting to see how those do. But, I mean, I wrote a song called Falling Apart with Randy Rogers, John Randall, and Miranda Lambert. And then the next day we cut it literally the day after we wrote it, and we were listening to 38 Special. And so we just completely ripped off 38 Special on this track. It's big dual guitars, big Anthem-y sound, and I think it turned out great, but I don't have anything else like it, so I'll be interested to see kind of how that song does and how it's received. But I don't know. I think this record's great. I think it stands on its own. Gold Chain Cowboy is a title I was kind of throwing around for a little while. I threw it on the internet, and the fans kind of jumped all over it and didn't really have a choice but to go with that title for the album. And I don't know. I always get really weird when I put out a new record. I second guess everything and think it's really shitty. And every time I've second guessed it and thought it was really shitty, it, you know, changed our lives and took us to the next level. So hopefully this one will do the same.
Well, and it's funny. I think about us walking around the Dell Match Play, and people knew you, but not a ton of people knew you. I mean, you were certainly tall and handsome, and I think it was the Hollywood glasses that attracted people to you. And a guy comes up named Django Walker.
Yeah.
Django Walker comes up, right? And I'll never forget, because you and I were walking down this cart path, and this guy taps you on the shoulder, and you went away, and you were like, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Right, and his dad is a great songwriter, right? Yeah. And you came back and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And it kind of gave you like, legitimacy? Like, what, like, because I'm always worried about these, not worried, I think these little stages of these little victories are amazing.
Yeah, that was just, I was so caught off guard. I've never actually been speechless. I think I was just so caught off guard at the moment. It was, he tapped me on the shoulder and he was like, this is my dad. I want you to meet him. It's Jerry Jeff Walker, who I've listened to my entire life and been a huge fan of my whole life. And I was just super caught off guard. I mean, I did not expect to go to Dell Match Play and meet Jerry Jeff Walker, but sure as hell did. And it was unreal experience. And Django's such a sweet guy, man. He's always been super sweet to me. And I'd met him a couple times before that. So, but I was still kind of blown away. He walked up and, you know, I mean, his dad's literally a legend
songwriter, right?
And so I don't know, to get the opportunity to meet him just in such a spur of a moment like that, I don't know, I didn't really have anything to say. I don't think I said anything.
Right. All right, so would you rather write a song or play it live?
I would rather write a song. I think it pays pretty good.
I don't know how that works. How does that work? If you write a song and they play it on the radio, you get money every time it's played?
So if you write a song, and like I write all my own songs, so if I write a song and put it on one of my albums and it goes number one on the radio, that's $500,000
ooh,
in your pocket.
Really?
So if you co-write it, which I co-write a lot, that would be $250,000 in your pocket.
Wow.
Good division for you, George.
Flew up Southwest today to Kansas.
Yeah, you don't have a college.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm all.
When are you going to start writing better songs?
I'm real frugal. Real frugal.
Come on, Mark. Let him fly. Let him fly first class on American, for crying out loud.
All right. So recently, during COVID, do the Hollywood Gold, which Pretty Heart is all over the radio.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Cowboy, love that tune.
Yeah. Thank you.
But there was only 6 songs on that EP.
Yeah.
And 2 of them are absolutely freaking crushing it. Yeah. I mean, was that? What was your take on that? Because 2 out of 6, if I do the math, George, would you do the math for me?
Yeah, 1 out of 3. 333.
333. He's talking batting averages.
No,
it's pretty good batting average, right?
333 one year. Bingo! Hey,
it ain't 400. It ain't 400.
No, but I'll tell you what. 333 ain't bad. That's a good song. 333 ain't bad.
Might have to write that one.
Okay, I'm going to write that one for you. You want me to write it? I'll give you the credit, and you can keep all the money.
Looks like it looks like you could use the $500,000, George.
George, please don't.
333.
No, but honestly, the EP did great, right? Was that sort of a warm-up to Gold Chain Cowboy?
Yeah, that was just kind of a little teaser, a collection of songs I'd written, and then Pretty Heart's actually on this new album as well. I guess when you have a big hit, you have to put it on the full album, which I was unaware of. I didn't want to do it, and the label was like, no, that's how it works, so we're doing it. So Pretty Heart's on the new album, but that was the only song that went to radio. Like a Cowboy just went to the highway, so they really were the ones that made it. And so when we play that song at the show, you would think it was a radio single, but it never was.
Really?
Yeah, because they lose it when we play it, and that's been a big hit for us, but it was never on national radio. It was only on Sirius XM The Highway. So
that's all I listen to.
We'll take whatever we can get.
Yeah, no kidding. So in this little journey, have you lost your freestyle rapping abilities?
Absolutely not.
So,
you guys did this in Texas, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. You're a longtime listener.
I heard you talk about this before.
We did.
You're not going to do that now, are you?
I mean, we don't have to. Okay. I mean, we're not going to force the issue.
We got
to
do the emergency six.
We will
But,
do
you know, this
too.
Is a golf show. Let's ask him about his golf game.
Let's take it away, George.
How's your golf game?
It's really good. Shot 77 yesterday.
Ooh.
No, you didn't. You told
me
your low is 86, and you're a 19 and 18 handicap.
Best round's 86. Yes, okay. That's a true story.
So what's your weakness?
I cannot hit my driver right now. Irons are great. Chipping's great. Cannot hit my driver right now.
You're going to go out and play Wolf Creek with Kevin Ward tomorrow, who I think is the best golf instructor I've ever met in my life. He makes things very simple. You're going to shoot 82 tomorrow.
That would be great.
Am I helping him or am I just going to watch
him? You're going to help him. He's going to knock in the fairway. You're going to miss some greens. Your short games. I saw you chipping on my backyard today on my celebrity greens.
.com.
Need a little work.
.com.
.com. I sent a video to Weldon.
Or Weston.
No, I call him Weldon. I said, Weldon, look at my backyard. We got a lot of guys out here putting on your celebrity green and chipping. And he said, George, it's Weston. You asshole.
I mean,
I know, but it was fun. Your short game needs a little work.
Sure.
You put one of those in your backyard, I'll give you a good deal. I'll get you a good deal.
I would love
through
that.
A friend of ours from Celebrity Greens. He'll come out when you build a house like your dad has in
Jesus
Austin.
Christ, your dad isn't messing around.
No, he's not messing around.
I mean,
he's
for
partners
a guy,
with Heath Mayer. What do you expect?
Hey, for a guy that has never done anything successful, Jesus Christ.
I want to know.
He's partners with Heath Mayer.
He is absolutely successful.
How pumped are you for tomorrow night? Because you're going to have a big-ass crowd.
Yeah, that's right. It's sold out. I think 4,000 or 5,000 tickets sold, so it's going to be stupid rowdy.
Everybody I know, no bullshit, is going to your concert tomorrow night.
I was
Not
there
just
two years
the young
ago.
Hot chicks.
I was there 2 years ago when you sang there.
Oh, yes. Opening for Randy Rogers' band.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. It was you're good. You're really good.
Thank you.
All right. So listen, Jason. I mean, you haven't said much here. Is this the bass player?
Well, naturally, I didn't get a mic, which is kind of a bass player.
I mean,
thing.
It's always such the bass player, right?
Such a hogger. Yeah.
But I tell you what, as a bass player, to be invited to these things, you just got to sit on your hands to keep from clapping. So that's I got a seat at the table, and I'll take it, man.
If you're
all right, Jason,
royal,
are you ready?
So normally
we do an emergency nine
but
with
not yet.
Our.
We're not there yet.
No, hey, we're going.
I will
this.
Give him a mic for 2 seconds. All right. Hold that mic. All right. So, so the bass player kind of represents the common man. It's kind of like a double digit handicapper, right?
It's thankless work.
And then you have, you've got the Parker who vocally is a +4, a bit like you, right?
Batting 1,000.
So, what's it like being a double digit bass player with a stud like this? I mean, does he keep it real or is he going all Hollywood on you, Jason?
I tell you what, the guys really rely on me to provide some of that performance. You know, I'm really animated on stage. So, I feel like I add a lot to the show, and they really lean on me in that regard. No, in all seriousness, I've had it's an 8-year run now.
Yeah.
9 years, being about 6 feet behind and about 4 feet to the left of a Parker on stage. So it's been a good ride. The golf game is still aggressively mediocre.
Play a lot though.
We play a lot, and you'd still be left perfectly whelmed by our golf game. Just perfectly evenly whelmed.
So, are you two betting against each other tomorrow? What would that bet be, and what will be the outcome?
Out of my league, money wise.
There's just two of you. Yeah. Two of you, because you said your handicaps are close.
I would say we stay pretty even.
Yeah, we both suck at short games sometimes. Drivers, it's hit or miss. It's just daddy hacks out there.
Okay.
So, right.
So we'll expect
but a
$20.
But sitting in your hotel room.
Oh, we play as much as we can.
Yeah.
We just hope to show a little short, small progress.
If anybody in Denver is listening, you guys are going to be in Denver when?
On Saturday night.
Saturday night. Hey, get a hold of Parker and say, hey, you're more than welcome to play Cherry Hills with us. Okay, how's that? How's that?
That would be great. We would love that. We would love that.
Tom Coyne. All you got to, all he has to do, all he has to do is say, "Hey, I'm going to be in town. I'd love to play golf." Right. Tom Coyne, in his books, when he went to Ireland and Scotland, "Hey, I'm going to be in town. I need someone to play with."
Oh, he's got a game.
And he got a game every time.
All right, well, listen, we're having a great time. George is back here. We're going to take one commercial break. We're going to come back with Wardo's Famous. We normally call it the E9, but we're going to call it the what? How many strings are on a guitar, by the
emergency
way?
Emergency six.
So we're going to call it the Emergency Six on behalf of a good guitar. Hey,
and here's the thing. Here's the thing about the Emergency Six. There's been a lot of talk lately about this golf going from 18 holes to 12. So there's going to be six questions times 2 equals 12. And that's what we're going to go with.
All right. So they both get the answer. My part, my golf partner, tomorrow
your
gets
guys,
the answer,
I mean, it's going to be some complex shit, so they better grab a drink and get ready.
All right. So grab your drink. We'll be right back in a Golf Underground ESPN Radio.
All right.
Killer.
It's the easiest radio show in the history of the world.
Do you have your questions set up or are you freestyling?
I've got them right here in my head.
Okay, let's go.
Right. Hey, welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. It's that special time. We're with Parker McCollum. By the way, if you're in Kansas City, it's too late to buy a ticket, which means you probably have to go to StubHub.com and spend $180 because those prices have been jacking up. Because you have the best talent in Austin, Texas / Nashville, and he's right here in Kansas City. So we're honored to have you, my friend.
Thank you.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. He's so excited to be here.
All right, so Wardo, this is your special time.
Right, let's go with a little competition here, folks. All right, are you gentlemen ready for a little Sheridan's Unforked Eating Good, Feeling Good, Rapid Fire? This is a competition.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Jason. Okay. Jason Newberry right here. We are going to go with your favorite city to party in.
New Orleans.
And you cannot answer with that there, sir.
Atlanta.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, question number two, or string number two, because we're going six strings. Favorite golf course in the world that you have currently played?
Crenshaw course at Barton Creek, but that's a limited list.
I like that.
Aloshin in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Well done. The mic switches back to you there, pro. If you could go out and if you could find a lady with an accent in one city, where would it be?
Oh, I don't know. Sydney, Australia.
Ooh. You just got engaged for crying out loud.
Yeah, she doesn't listen to ESPN radio, though.
I guess I'll just go with anywhere in the South.
Anywhere. I love that action. Okay, speaking of South, SEC football, I'm a big fan. One stadium you haven't been but you want to go to?
Tuscaloosa. I would like to go to Alabama Stadium.
Fantastic.
Ole Miss. I'll go with Ole Miss there.
Yeah, baby.
Cheer up, George.
I've been to Ole Miss, and that's
Hottie
my favorite
toddy.
School, so I can't
Hottie
say that.
Toddy.
All right, in the sixth string of this question, one album of somebody that influenced you growing up.
Continuum, John Mayer.
See? See?
Have you met John Mayer?
No, I have not. I don't want to.
It'd be too close, honestly.
I don't want him to be like a real person. You know, like once I was sitting around a table with him, I'd be like, you're real. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not as cool as you.
Thank you. Tell him you said that if I ever meet him.
He's fragile.
No, we had him on a couple weeks ago, and he wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fragile. No, I told you, Michael McDonald's a friend of mine who was his manager. He's not Parker McCollum, put it that way.
I'll take it.
Yep, next one.
I'm going to go with Roy Donk and the Colgate Comedy Hour.
There it is. There it is. And that is the sixth string.
That's only five.
That was six in my head.
Oh,
all
six?
Right, George, you want to ask him the sixth question.
What's the best steak you ever had and what was it cooked on?
The one time I had a really good steak in George Brett's backyard on a Hooray grill.
Bingo. And where were the steaks from? The Show Me State? Show me steaks?
Yeah, they were show me steaks.
Yeah.
Next gen cattle.
All right, final question. So what's next for the band? What's next? Where's this going?
Hopefully selling out an arena tour next year.
And is there a goal, CMT, song of the year, album of the year? I mean, like,
I don't know.
Set goals like that?
Not for awards, just, no.
You don't?
No, we just want to play the biggest venues and sell them out across the country.
Nice, nice. All right, well, listen, Parker, again, it's been 2.5 years. So cool to see the journey. You were the most humble guy 2.5 years ago, and you're like, well, I'm just kind of waiting to see where this thing goes. And it's something you said to me I'll never forget. You said you will meet people on the way up, and you will meet people on the way down, and you got to stay the same guy. I don't know if you remember saying that.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. Everybody you see on the way up, you'll see on the way down.
Yep, and it really hit me, and it's so cool for us as George, you and I, older guys, to see young guys act just killing it. And so do me a favor, just keep making us happy while we're sitting on boats or just putting that Wi-Fi on while we're golfing. We're listening to Parker McCollum because you're making people happy.
Appreciate it. All my songs are sad, heartbreak songs about everything going terribly wrong. So thank you very much.
I'm totally depressed myself.
Yeah. Way to go, Sully.
People always ask me to play their weddings, and I'm like, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Because all my songs are about doing exactly what her parents wish you wouldn't.
Live in Texas.
No. That was probably wrong. That was your deep, dark. But now it's – by the way, you're a happy guy. So what's funny is Happy and that song was like, or that your whole album was so deep. It was like, my sense is you had to get in this place, this dark place to create it, right?
Yeah, I don't get near as fucked up as I used to. So who knows what the songs will look like now.
Yeah. All right, well, good. Well, listen, thank you for joining us on the Golf Underground.
Thanks for having us.
Any chance that we can pull out a guitar and you can do a song for us off radio?
Yeah, it's only $50,000 a song.
It's all right. George has got plenty of it.
This one is sponsored by Hooray Grills. We'll be cutting a check for $50,000. So we had a great time. Make sure you come out to the Power Light District tomorrow night. We have Parker McCollum and my man Jason on the bass. We're going to have a great time, but only after 18 holes of golf. Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. See you there. Every time it's a long song.